Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you every Wednesday. It's noon, so listen up.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because this is Colombo Chronicles Live. And today, the first thing I want to talk about and mention to you, and I'm sure everyone in America and around the world remembers, and I want to remember as well, I received an email from Bob Dylan Schneider. He's a very famous PR person in New York. And so it is very heavy on his heart, I'm sure, as well as everyone in New York and everyone in the nation. He says, today is 9/11, and while we were all focused on what is taking place around the world, we should never forget what was done to America on September 11th, 2001. So I just wanted to say that for a moment of silence and in honor of all the victims' families and to remember all the victims. We pray for their families and we never shall forget. And we also must remember that it was almost 3,000 Americans who were murdered on 9/11. And that was a day that a war by the Islamic terrorists was declared on America. But it was actually an undeclared war. And we're still fighting it. Unfortunately, we're still fighting it, and many countries around the world are still fighting against terrorism and persecution of Jews, Israel, America, Europe, Europeans, Americans, and Christians. And it's an ongoing battle every day that people must be aware, and we were awakened on 9/11/2001. And then I came across an interesting article that says, Bible holidays are too sexual to allow, says Facebook. So in my opinion, that is more discrimination against Christians and God-believing Americans and against the Bible. Because this country's laws, this country's foundation, this country's Constitution and Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence are rooted from the Bible, which includes the Ten Commandments. So our framers, who were God-fearing men, and the American people at that time approved of the United States Constitution and the laws mandated in that Constitution for all legal, loyal Americans to adhere to and to be protected from the Bigfoot of the big government I'm from the big foot of the federal government, who continues to trample on the Constitution, which means they're trampling on the rights, freedoms, and liberties of Americans, and becoming more totalitarian every single day, little by little, especially in California and New York and Oregon and Washington, D.C., and other states around the country. It is slowly creeping into America's laws, into our legislation, and we need to fight back, and we need to fight back against this persecution against Americans. And this ad, there was an ad created for Facebook by the Ariel Jewish Center to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Biblical Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. And that isn't too complicated because it has been going on for 240-some years. Well, David Sidman reported the ad linked to an Ariel Center video. The center's rabbi, Rabbi Belinsky, wondered, does anyone see anything sexually explicit about biblical holidays? He said, censoring innocuous Jews causes, and pro-Israel voices, for that matter, is nothing new on Facebook and social media in general. In fact, it's nothing new against conservatives and Christians, I want to add. He cited pro-Israel activists Zahava and Glard Shapiro, who told the Jewish press the site has barred her many times for allegedly offensive posts. The most outrageous time, she explained, was when Facebook sent me a notice about a post I had written 3 years before where I referenced Arab Muslim terrorism, stating a factual account. And this is perfect because today is 9/11, the day that America was attacked and the Islamic terrorists declared war on America and Americans, who are now in our country. And we have jihadists in our country, especially over in Michigan, who are recruiting Americans and young kids and American prisoners, and also by force inside the prisons. So I don't know why the warden and the prison guards aren't doing something to stop that. Anyway, the article goes on, and she says, the most outrageous time, she explained, was when Facebook sent me a notice about the post I had written 3 years before where I referenced Arab Muslim terrorism, stating a factual account. They claimed it did not conform to community standards, but their community standards, not the nation's community standards of the United States Constitution that allows freedom of speech, I want to say. So anyway, Facebook claimed it did not conform to community standards, which is the same type of message I receive each time I am banned. I think we've all seen those if you're a conservative, a Christian, a Jew, or a Republican, GOP, whatever you want to call yourself, or a Catholic, or anyone who is pro-life, pro-Constitution, pro-U.S. flag. I think that this is not unusual to have your post banned on Facebook. She says, but it was way too much for Facebook, which responded with a censorship notice saying the ad can't run. This ad isn't running because it is sexually provocative or overly suggestive, the tech giant announced. So who are these people who are banning and filtering out posts and determining what is freedom of speech in America, what can or can't be said, what can or can't be published online, social media? Is it the Constitution? Is it the Congress? Is it the White House? Is it the Department of Justice? Who is now in charge of freedom of speech in America, freedom of the press, freedom of expression, freedom of opinion, freedom to peacefully protest and hold up signs, and only certain people are targeted? That's discrimination. That's political bias. And that is a way to manipulate the elections, in my opinion. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that now they're attacking the Bible holidays, biblical holidays, as being sexual, and they must be banned on social media. That is insane and crazy. But that's how the world is turning now. And so on that note, we are going to turn to the world of authors and experts, because we have a dynamic guest. He is a Canadian, and he's an author, and he's also an expert and researcher on sociopaths and psychopaths and what is happening around the world. And Stefan Verstappen speaks about the need for men and women to return to tradition of independence, self-reliance, courage, strength, qualities the state has done everything in its power to destroy. And he does have a book that is a training manual that teaches skills needed to become a modern-day warrior. Well, I've been called a crusader by the media many times, and I think that, you know, whether you're a warrior or a crusader, it all boils down to the same thing. If you're fighting back for justice and to hold public servants and Congress and the Department of Justice and the White House hold their feet to the fire and force them to uphold their sworn oath, and that means that they must uphold the United States constitutional laws, which they aren't doing today. The Democrats are not doing that at all whatsoever. So on that note, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and ask what is actually happening around the world, and especially in the United States of America, to freedom, liberty, and rights. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we're entering into the world of authors and experts, which we do every week with a very special guest who is an author, an expert, and both. And today we have Stefan Verstappen. And as I told you, he is an author and he is an excellent researcher, especially on sociopaths and psychopaths and how they're destroying our minds, our spirits, and our lives through many different agendas. And people are awakening to these agendas, and people are becoming very concerned because, in reality, it's a matter of life and death. So here we are on 9/11/2019, and on 9/11/2001, we were awakened by the Islamic terrorists to an attack on American soil that killed Nearly 3,000 Americans and many more have died that we don't even hear about. Only a few, especially first responders, who died from the toxins and got cancer, and some are still suffering from those toxins, and many will still die. So, unfortunately. So, let's say hello to Stefan Verstappen and ask him, how's the weather in Canada today, Stefan, and how's it going?
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me back on. It's good to be talking to you again. Up here in Canada, well, the ice pack is breaking up a little bit, so we're starting to get mail through on the dog sled teams, but there have been numerous reports of polar bear attacks, so I'm still waiting for my mail. That's the way it goes up here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, fortunately for us, we have great weather here on the West Coast today. So
I know. I lived in California for 12 years. I'm so sorry I moved back here. You know, they keep talking about climate change and global warming. I'm telling you, we've had the coldest spring, summer, fall, and winter in years up here. You know, I'm not kidding. It's just, you know, it's another, you know, minus 50 degree blizzard, you know, and it's like July 1st or whatever. Anyways, it's horrible weather up here. For everybody in the United States thinking that, you know, you can escape to Canada to get away from the lunatics down there. No, the lunatics are up here. Look at our prime minister. And you can't survive.
They're everywhere. They're breeding. They're breeding their own.
They're shipping them in from third world countries. It's unbelievable. I was in a small town in northern Alberta. Now, Alberta is Canada's version of Texas. Now, northern Alberta is Canada's version of Alaska. You know, it's just subarctic. And there's a town up there called Fort McMurray. Now, anytime you have a town or a city with the first name Fort, you know it's way out in the sticks, right? It started off as a trading post, you know, selling, you know, pox-laden blankets for beaver skins. So, and I know Fort McMurray. I was there 40 years ago when I was a teenager. We were working on the railroad up there. They were building this railroad, and it was a good job for young men in those days. You would take off school. You'd spend 4 months up working on the railroad, 6 days a week. You lived and ate on the movable camps. You lived in the camps. You saved a ton of money. When you came back after the summer, you could pay for your college tuition. You know, now when I was up there, it was literally a one-horse town. There was one street light. There was a grocery store, more like not even a grocery store, more like a trading center, a trading outpost. One tavern with, you know, and in those days, taverns had like, you know, sawdust thrown on the floor, you know, and the furniture was all bolted to the floor because, you know, the numerous fights people would pick up chairs and that. So all the furniture
sounds like
was
Alaska.
That's why I said it was like Canada's version of Alaska. Everything's bolted down, sawdust everywhere. The only people that were up there was a half a dozen old Indians and, now I went there because I got a commission to do an art project. You know, I like to do a lot of different things, Rose. You know, I'm a very creative guy, and the stranger and wackier, the better for me. You know, and so I got a commission to go and exhibit at their art festival. So I hauled all this sculpture all the way up to Fort McMurray, flew up there. I get there, and I packed light, you know, and I didn't have clean underwear. I didn't have time to do the laundry. I said, I'll go there. I'll go to the Walmart. I'll buy clean underwear when I get there, right? So I walk into the Walmart. As far as the eye could see, it was thousands of women in burkas. Burkas.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Everybody in the Walmart was a Muslim. What happened to the Indians? You know, what happened
to
the...
Did you think you walked into a foreign nation?
Yes, I mean, this is Alaska. Twilight Zone, exactly. You know, I didn't fly to Saudi Arabia. I flew to a mining town in Canada because up there, that's where the tar sands are, the oil sands, and it's really a mining town. So the last place on earth I would expect to see Muslims is in a small mining town in the subarctic, and yet the place I couldn't find any white people. There weren't any Canadians around, no Indians either. Then, you know, as I'm going through the town, every bus driver is a Somalian.
Mm-hmm.
I took the bus every day. I was staying with people up there that were kind enough to put me up for the 10 days of the art festival while I exhibited. And every day I would take the bus to the exhibition site and back, and it was all Somalians. And then one night, the mayor of the town, he took all the, because there was like seven of us artists, and we all had a interactive art display somewhere throughout the town. It was scattered throughout the town, right? And then every night they would take a busload of people. It was a free bus ride. They would go from one art installation to the other, and, you know, it was very nice. And so one day the mayor said he took all the artists out for dinner at the keg, right? And so the seven of us and the mayor and a few other dignitaries were sitting around. We were having a really good steak dinner. And I was talking to the mayor. I said, "Mayor, you know, what's with all the Somalians?" I mean, no, I know I'm racist. I know, but it's just, you know, I was up there 40 years ago and it was just, you know, three old Indians and a horse. And now suddenly I'm in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, is that not a question one should ask? I mean, I'm not allowed to say, "Hey, things look different since the last time I was here." You know?
Not on Facebook, you can't ask that question.
Not anywhere. No, that's hate speech. You know, blow me. So anyways.
Oh, for them it is. Even though it's a truth, you can't ask the question.
So the mayor was a very forthcoming guy. He was still, you know, of a light shade of skin tone. And he says, "Well, I'll give you one better." He says, "Do you know that Fort McMurray has the highest number of shootings per capita in all of Canada?" I said, "Come on, I'm from Toronto. We have Somalian neighborhoods in Toronto. I mean, it's like fireworks, 4th of July every night there. How could you possibly have more shootings than Toronto?" And he says, no, we do. He says, and I said, "Well, how come I've never read about it in the paper?" But of course, we will never read about that in the paper because it goes against,
absolutely,
you know, the myth of diversity heaven there. No. And he says, the reason you don't hear about it is because even though we have more shootings, we don't have more killings. I said, "Oh, I see." So even though Toronto, you know, they shoot and they kill a lot more people in Toronto and in sanctuary neighborhoods, but they're not killing anybody. I said, "Why is that?" He says, "Because the Somalians can't aim." He says, "We got, you know, six Somalian drug gangs." I said, "Hold on, step back. What? Drug gangs?" You know, Rose, I want you to think, you know, Andy of Mayberry, you know, in Alaska. And suddenly you've got seven Somalian drug gangs driving around shooting pistols out their windows, not hitting anything, thank goodness, but still they're shooting off pistols. Rose, this is insanity. You know, I mean, there's nowhere you can go. Oh.
No, and you mentioned Fort Hood. I mean, you mentioned Fort, you know, who, you know, rural places. Well, there was Fort Hood, which was a U.S. military base under Obama's watch. They... FBI had known that this jihadist was on their watch. Somehow he slipped into the military and was able to access a weapon and pre-plan his strategy to kill unarmed American military personnel and take them by surprise and wipe them out. And he did, and then because he was a jihadist from the Middle East, Obama and Holder, according to the news, were attempting to have the charges of this serial mass murder downsized to workplace violence.
Yeah. No, you can see that.
I mean, if that doesn't anger Americans, I mean, Americans seem to be, you know, so ho-hum, maybe because they're afraid of all the laws that they're passing that or are just understood that you don't say certain things if they are from the Middle East or from other countries, or you will be punished in America, on American soil.
Yeah,
and
well,
here we
Canada.
Are on 9/11/2001, and it didn't stop on 9/11/2001. We still have attacks, and we've had many attacks on our country, and we've had many attacks that were thwarted by the FBI that are under the radar that people don't even know about, even attempts against the president and the White House and the vice president. And the Democrats in this country just let it slide. They don't even want to hear a peep about it. But what they want to do, Stefan, is to take away the due process of law for Americans, and based on red flag laws and the NDA, accuse you of a crime even if you're 100% innocent. And I've had firsthand experience at this. And even
really?
If you're 100%, and even on a not this big level, but I mean on a smaller level, and even if it's an accusation and they call the police and then they arrest you, take your kids, take your property, search and seizure, they can forfeiture, they can take all your whatever they want, your cash, if they stop you in the car, and there's no accountability for them doing anything, indefinitely detaining you or letting you go, whatever, you have to fight to get your money back, which means you have to hire a lawyer after they stole everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. How deep down the rabbit hole do you want to go on this?
Well, I'll tell you, this is already happening with these red flag laws and this NDAA law. I don't know if the American people realize how dangerous this is to our freedom, our liberties, our rights, and losing all your freedom and your property and your assets. And this goes back to some of the research that you've done, which is about some of the people who you and I believe are sociopaths or psychopaths within the government. How do these people end up in our government and destroying the laws of the land, Stefan?
Well, you know, that's my political orientation. You see, I'm against the state because I have researched history, and there is no greater enemy to humankind, to mankind, to the planet, to nature, to animals. There is no greater threat, no more vicious, murderous, bloodthirsty entity on the world than your own government. That's just the way it is. Now, the reason this happens is because government is a hierarchical institution that affords great power to people. If you can get into government and you can move up the ranks, you have a lot of power. Now, me personally, I'm not a psychopath. I don't care for power. I'm not interested in telling Rose what to eat for breakfast. I don't want to tell Rose what you can wear today to work. You know, I'm not interested in controlling your life. I'm not interested in controlling anyone's life. I hope everybody has a happy, healthy life and does what they want. I don't care. But I'm not a psychopath. Psychopaths crave power. They want to tell you what you can eat. They want you to tell you what you can wear and what to think and what to do. And so a government, any government, every government throughout history, I've researched this back 6,000 years. It's always the same story. You're 100 times more likely to be murdered by your own government than you are by a foreign invading army. So,
well, just the fact, Stefan, that they are bringing in these unvetted foreigners from third world nations whose ideologies are deep-seated, who are anti-Israel, anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Jew, and believe that, you know, deep-seated ones believe that you know, their goal is to everyone convert to their religion and their ideologies. I mean, just that alone, to me, has to reflect the opinions and the goals of sociopaths.
Well,
because there's no
is.
Freedom under those ideologies. None. Zilch.
No,
there. What do you think?
You know, I'm not a fan of organized religion. I mean, anything based on the Bible, for crying out loud. You know, this Yahweh character is a psychopath. Oh my God! I mean, you know, somebody added up how many people he murdered as listed in the Bible. Come on, you know, this is an all-loving God. These are all just ways to manipulate and control people. And so, what we have going on now with this mass immigration. We're going to go way down the rabbit hole here. This is part of a strategy to destroy Western civilization. That's all there's to it. And these Muslims, I don't like their religion. I really don't. I, you know, when I was younger, I studied every religion. I read all the holy books, everything from the Quran to, well, you couldn't get a translation of the Quran, but everything from the Bible to the Sutras of Patanjali to the Egyptian Book of the Dead to the Tibetan Book of the Dead to the Zen Masters. I read it all, looking for some truth, some answers. I found nothing in the Bible, to be honest with you. It's just, oh my God, it's madness. But anyways, these are all manipulative institutions to control people. That's what it is. And now the Muslims, even though I really despise the religion. I mean, come on. The guy flies off on a horse. Give me a break. Who believes this crap? You know, like, come on. This is an insanity. This is, you know, it's okay for six-year-olds to read a fantasy story at the library as spoken by some man dressed up in a dress. That's fine. But, you know, these religions are murderous.
Well, more people have died over religion than for any other reason in the world. Just fighting over religious beliefs. And see, I like the Bible personally because I believe it's been misinterpreted many times. But I think the Ten Commandments are like the key to me, that if you follow those Ten Commandments, you would have peace in the world. But God isn't instructing people to go out and do all these things. He's telling you this is what's going to happen. There's evil, there's good, here's your Ten Commandments, follow them, you'll be fine, but you won't. So I'm giving you mercy, forgiveness, and repentance to do better. But the bottom line is that he gave us free will and free choice. So part of that is freedom of religion, to believe or not believe. So I don't judge anybody. I believe everyone needs to have their own free will and free choice to decide. And that is what is very disturbing to me, that we have a government who's telling us you cannot criticize these people who believe that we are big Satan and believe Israel is little Satan, and they want to boycott Israel and dominate America. And those are from their own lips, from our I'm sure you hear it on your soil in Canada. So, and the Muslim Brotherhood strategic and written strategic goal is to infiltrate, overpopulate, and dominate, and then control the entire world. So our government is saying, you know, that the Constitution is meaningless, and so is your government, and so is the European government, right?
Yeah, it's meaningless. Democracy is a joke. There is no democracy. We haven't had democracy in 100 years. You know, when Pierre Trudeau, the prime minister back in the 70s, when he changed the immigration policy and opened the floodgates to every third world immigrant. And before that, before you could immigrate to Canada, you had to go through a process that was grueling. You had to prove that you were of good character, that you had to have a clean criminal record. You had to have a clean health record. You had to, you know, have, you know, an education or a trade, and you had to have people in Canada already that would sponsor you and be liable for any crimes that you committed if you were in the country. Plus, you were not allowed to apply for welfare or Social Security or anything like that for at least 5 years.
Excellent laws. Those are excellent laws.
Yeah, so the people that you got coming into the country, I mean, my parents immigrated from Holland in 1952. So, you know, I'm from immigrant family too, but, you know, they had nothing. There was no welfare. There was no unemployment insurance. There was no free Medicare. There was none of that stuff. And they worked menial jobs like every immigrant does. You know, my mother was a maid. My father was a chauffeur. God, if you can imagine those two psychopaths as a maid and chauffeur. But, but that was the way it was in those days. You had to have somebody here already to sponsor you. Then Pierre Trudeau changed it back in, I think it was 1971. But it wasn't just Pierre Trudeau. Every Western country in the world changed their immigration policy within a 10-year period. England did it. Holland did it. France did it. Italy did it. Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Belgium, Norway.
America.
You know, they all... America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And Australia used to be notorious. There's no way you could immigrate to Australia before the 1970s unless you were like already a doctor or something like that, or a famous scientist. There's no way they would let anybody in, but it all changed. But it was only Western countries. And it changed where they only let in people from third world shitholes. I'm sorry. Oh, it's a bad thing. You can't say that. Look, I've been to Africa. I've been to third world countries. I know how they live. I've lived there. I've traveled throughout. I appreciate the differences in culture. I admire many things about all the different cultures, but let's face it. Africa is a shithole. You know, India is a shithole. Bangladesh is a shithole. These countries are, they're insane and they're cruel and they're filthy. The dirt and garbage and the feces on the street. Well, San Francisco is now approaching, you know, San Francisco, L.A. is now approaching, you know, third world status.
Oh, yeah. And so is Los Angeles, an area of Los Angeles anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But when they changed this immigration policy, do you think for a moment that Pierre Trudeau on his campaign trail said, listen, Canadians, I've got this idea. We're going to import 30 million Somalians, and they're going to establish drug gangs in every small town across Canada, and you're going to pay for their welfare, and you're going to pay for their health care, you're going to pay for their education, you're going to pay for their housing, you're going to pay for their food, and we're going to raise your taxes so that you can't afford to have kids, you can't even afford to take Saturday off because you better get an extra part-time job to pay the goddamn taxes. What a great idea. Vote for me. Nobody ever said that. We never had a choice on that. They did it behind our backs. And, well, they did it behind your backs, too, in America. And they did it behind the backs of the French and the English. None of these politicians in all the Western countries of the world ever said, this is what we're going to do. Nobody had a choice on that. We weren't allowed to vote.
Actually, yeah. I came across a presidential order, and it was like in 2009, accidentally, I was looking for something, and it scared the heck out of me, and so I posted it on Facebook, and it went viral. I mean, people were going crazy, and then I got hacked and shut down after that, because in it, it said that the plan, which was passed down from, I think, G.H.W. Bush to Clinton to Bush to Obama, they're all on the same page. They're all on the same program there, and which is, you know, be the haves and the heck with the have-nots, which is us. And so they stated in there that anyone, which is happening today, anyone who is a constitutionalist, who is a Christian, who is pro-life, who is pro-legal immigration, pro-secure borders, any of these things, pro-Israel, any of these things on the right, that they were to be called right-wing extremists. that they were going to they were going to open the borders, flood the nation with foreigners, and then they were going to create a pandemic, a disease, a pandemic, and then they were going to create chaos and civil unrest. But it wasn't in these words, but this is what their intent was. And then this was so that the President of the United States could call out curfew, martial law, call troops on the streets to patrol, and to and then they were going to use, if they wanted to, you know, with all these new laws they have where they can just knock down your door and take you away based on accusation, like I told you before, take you away to a government facility where they would reprogram you because you were a free thinker, so you needed to get in the program. I don't know what else they could possibly do to you, but
no,
now they have these red flag laws with their mental, you know, they can accuse you of being mentally unstable like they do in the family law courts. And so then they could take you away and put you locked up and drug you, basically.
Yeah, but they're not going to take you to a re-education camp. They're not going to reprogram you. They're going to shoot you in the back of the head, in the forest, dump you in a mass grave,
well,
just
they
like
they've
done
put that in the
every other communist country for the last 100 years. No, we're a communist country now. Don't you understand? People need to understand that. People that are running our countries now, they're full-blown Bolshevik communists. It's only a matter of time before they start to do here what they did in Russia, what they did in Poland, what they did in Latvia, in Lithuania, in China, in Cambodia, in North Korea, in every country, and Cuba. Every country where the Bolshevik communist socialists have gotten control of power, what they start to do is mass murder people. So, you know, I'm not right wing. I'm against genocide. I'm against torture, unlawful imprisonment, and murder.
No, this
That's
was
what
the
I'm
left
against.
Wing that we're calling the Republicans and conservatives right-wing extremists because we believe in, you know, we believe in the Constitution and the sovereignty of the nation and secure borders and all this, and they are, they believe in the opposite.
Exactly. I mean, this is the nasty little manipulation, like a typical psychopath, you know. Oh, you think I'm a psychopath? But no, you're the one that's bad. Oh, fuck off. You know, excuse my language. It's just ridiculous that we have to put up with this stuff. You know, I'm not right wing. I never read any conservative political ideology or anything like that. I don't follow that. I don't follow any political ideology. What I do follow is history and learning from history. And I am against genocide and mass murder and torture. Look, you know, I tell people it's not just that they're going to march you out to the forest and shoot you in the back of the head and dump your body in mass graves, which they have done. Read history. That's all they've done. There's 60, 80, 120 million dead bodies all over the planet by these same people that control our government. It's the same ideology. It's the same mentality. And so, you know, that's what I'm against. I'm against murder. I'm against genocide. And that's where we're going with this. And this whole immigrant mass flooding of third world immigrants.
It's a Trojan horse.
A weapon. No, it's a weapon. What, you know, please, does anybody really believe that your government, who doesn't care about the veterans, who doesn't care about the millions of homeless people sleeping on the street, who doesn't care about the shrinking middle class who can't, you know, make ends meet, who are enslaved to debt, that doesn't care about the first responders on 9/11 where they were breathing in this asbestos and they're all dying of lung cancer. The government that doesn't care about, you know, the Native Americans that live in shanty towns on reservations and squalor. No, the government doesn't care about them. But you know who the government cares about? They
themselves.
Love Somalians. They love Muslims. Oh, please, you know, are we supposed to believe that? Of course not. Don't be ridiculous. They don't care about these people. So why are they here? Why did they go behind our backs and open up the floodgates and bring in millions, tens of millions?
Non-vetted. And they're non-vetted. They're from Central America, South America, Communist China, Russia, and mainly the Middle East now. And And there's a lot of Chinese in our country, too, but they're, like, under the radar because they're not, like, troublemakers, you know what I mean? They're not just going out there and disrupting stuff. They're very quiet, you know, and so people don't pay attention to that. You know, the communist Chinese, Stefan, have a app now where, I mean, this highly advanced technology is getting really crazy because they have an app now that it's based on your merit, and the government decides, they track you 24/7 and decide, you know, what you can buy, what you can do, whether you can travel, whether you could leave the country, you know, and what you, based on your actions, what you say, what you do, you know, do you pay your bills on time, all this stuff, and the government is tracking their own citizens.
Yeah, it's called the social credit system. They're rolling it out in China. And listen, this is not the communist Chinese that's doing this. This is Microsoft. This is Google. This is, you know, IBM. This is American bankers and American technology companies. They're using China to roll this out and test it, you know, field test it. And then they're going to bring it here. This is a system in which, like, during this interview, I've probably, you know, mentioned something about people and, anyways, they will record that. Now, when I go to the bus stop to get the bus into town to buy groceries, the bus driver is going to say, oops, I'm sorry, you can't get on this bus. Your social credit has gone down because you said those things to Rose Colombo on the Rose Colombo show, and I'm afraid we can't let you on the bus. That's the system they're bringing in. Total, absolute slavery.
Well, you can see it on social media right now. I mean, if you're telling the truth, or you are a Christian, or you are a Jew, or you are a moral person, or you know anything that you object to, you aren't one of them on the, you know, with their program, then you are just banned, you're suspended, you're cut off, you're accused of hate speech. I take hate speech very seriously because I hate no one. These are just facts of life, and this is what they've done, and this is what's happening. So when you don't want freedom of speech, Stefan, isn't that when you don't want people to know what you're doing and telling other people?
No, I mean, you know, Rose, from my perspective, the world has gone completely insane. I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean, I am, you know, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest here. It's insanity. So when I heard the term hate speech, I read Orwell. I read 1984. I read Animal Farm. I mean, how could anybody allow such a term to exist in our country? Because this is a clear indication that we are in a totalitarian dictatorship, hate speech, for Christ's sakes. Listen, I have the right to hate whoever the hell I want, and I hate a lot of people. You know who I hate? I hate politicians. I hate pedophiles. I hate murderers. I hate people that are con artists and sneak thieves and abuse animals and abuse
pedophiles.
Women. And pedophiles, you know, which is, you know, half of the government, at least. I hate these people. I have a burning hatred for these types of garbage people because of the damage they do to this world and this society and the number of innocent lives they have murdered. I hate them. I'm allowed to hate them. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, hate is a really strong word, and I wouldn't say you hate them. I would say you hate their actions. You hate what they do.
No, Rose, I'm done being Mr. Nice Guy. I've been Mr. Nice Guy my whole life. I've always let it pass. I've always forgiven people. I've always tried to make excuses for people that were like that. You know, my mother's a typical example. She was a psychopath her whole life, and I always made excuses for her. Oh, well, you know, because of this, because she's, that's why she does. That's why she behaves this way. I got to tell you, up until the last breath on this planet, they have no remorse. They don't care. There is not a, and I'm sorry to say this, Rose, but I know the Christians have this idea that within everybody there's some good. And I got to disagree with that. There are people that there's no good inside of them.
I don't agree with that. I think there's some people that go to their death totally unrepentant.
Exactly.
They're not sorry at all for anything they've done. I don't think the politicians are sorry for what they've done to Canada, to Europe, to America. I don't think they're sorry at all. I think that they are just hoarding all the money they can possibly get, living in mansions, jetting about. They're taking our tax dollars to destroy our country. And then on top of it, they're wealthy, and they still take our money until they die on pensions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they tell us that we have to – there's no even constitutional law that says we have to pay for illegal foreigners in our country or foreign enemies in our country. There's no constitutional law that grants them the authority to force us to fund illegals and who are coming for the freebies, because the Democrats promised them freebies, and that means housing, health care, lifetime of welfare, food, anything they want. And, well, the Americans, which really irks me, is I see our Americans who were hit by storms in California, fires. They're still living in tents.
Yep. Yep.
They can't get any help, Stefan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so we're expected to believe that somehow the government that doesn't care about its own people suddenly loves all these people from, you know, Nicaragua and Somalia. Now, listen, personally, I got to be honest with you. I don't have anything against Somalians or Muslims or Hispanics. I don't have a problem. I don't get into fights with them. I don't, you know, hunt them down on the streets and beat them up or anything. I got nothing to do with these people. I don't hate them. I hate the people that brought them here, because they brought them here to use them as a weapon against patriotic, native-born Americans and Canadians and Australians and French to destroy our society. It's
to
like
control
that,
us and to put us in jail.
And then we can't even speak out against it, you know?
Yeah, because they're going to use it against you based on some stupid accusation by a CEO of a private corporation. Where in the world did they get the authority, just because they're wealthy as CEOs? They aren't legislators. They aren't lawmakers. They aren't law enforcers. Who granted them this authority to take away our right to freedom of speech?
Yeah. Well, because they're part of the cabal that runs the world, and that cabal wants to see the American dream die. And, you know, it's a science fiction, post-apocalyptic movie that we're living in. I can't describe it any other way. We are already post-apocalyptic. I mean, yeah, there's pockets of people there. But, you know, like compared to what – you see, I understand what we could have been. And when you compare that to what we are – we are in a post-apocalyptic hellhole. It's Mad Max, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
They want Mad Max. They want us at each other's throats, you know?
Well, I remember after Obama got elected, he wasted no time flying to meet with Trudeau and secretly to meet. It was really under the radar. I just happened to be a researcher like you and find these things unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And he flew over to Trudeau, and no one really knows what their meeting was about. He flew right after that to Mexico. Nobody really knew what their little talk was about. And right after that, all the borders were wide open to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody and anybody. And that was the pre-planned migration of non-vetted foreigners from foreign enemy nations into our country. Foreign enemy nations.
Well, this has been in the works for 100 years now, Rose. Have you ever heard of the Kalergi plan?
No. What is that?
Called Hope and Kalergi? Well, it was a book written by the founder of the European Union, or one of the founders of the European Union. He was half Belgium and half Japanese, and he wrote a book. And in the book, he described their plans for the future. And what they were going to do was flood Europe with third world people until Europeans interbred so much that there would no longer be white people, that it would be one giant sort of mixed race. He described it as, you know, what the ancient Egyptians looked like. Well, that's a whole nother story, but the ancient Egyptians were blonde, blue-eyed, and redheads, and then they were flooded with, and now no Egyptian looks like what they used to. And the same with Brazil, you know, there was lots of German settlers, and now it's all, everybody's some sort of shade of brown. You can't tell what they are. They're not black, they're not Hispanic, they're not Mestizo, they're certainly not white. That was his plan for Europe. He says, we're going to open the borders, we're going to flood Europe with immigration, we're going to promote promote interracial breeding until we have bred a race of people that have an average IQ of 90, which means they're too stupid to ever throw off the chains of their enslavement, but just smart enough to work as dumb mule animals. And that was his plan. In 1923, he wrote it out. It's very clear. The Kalergi plan, right? I think it starts with a K-A-L-L-E-R-G.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Google it. I recommend everybody Google it because he spells it out. And, well, you know, maybe it's a fantasy, maybe it's a conspiracy theory. No, they published that book in 1923, and now look what's happened. Look what's happened, and look at the advertising and the promotion and all that. I watch a TV commercial. Every TV commercial has a white wife and her black husband. I mean, come on, you know, like, I'm not supposed to notice this, you know. Go to Sweden. They have pamphlets there on that they hand out to Somalian immigrants or African immigrants, how to make love to white women. You know, I mean, this is the plan, folks. The plan is to destroy Western
civilization. Well, in Sweden, they passed a law that they will, or at least they were proposing a law, that they were going to end the life of babies who weren't white babies, Swedish babies who weren't, meeting the standards of being a healthy baby.
Yeah, right. You know,
that's sick.
Like
that
I asked
so
you at the beginning,
sick.
How far do you want to go down a rabbit hole on this? Because I've researched this for a long time. I've read everything I could on it, on the subject. And here's the bottom line. It's a European genocide. In 100 years, there won't be any Europeans. Maybe in cages somewhere, or in a zoo. There won't be any Europeans left. I think it's already too late. There was a famous speech by a British politician called Enoch Powell called The Rivers of Blood. And he gave this speech in Parliament in 1968, so, you know, over 51 years ago. And he said, if we continue with this mass immigration, the end result will be rivers of blood. And he's absolutely right. There is.
Well, the Bible talks about that the waters are going to turn red, blood red.
It will, and it will turn red with the blood of your children and your grandchildren. Everybody that's listening now, this is, you know, like I try to be lighthearted and outraged and raise my voice in anger, but look, you know, the truth of the matter is your grandchildren are going to be slaughtered in the streets unless we do something, but it's probably already too late. But look, understand that this is the plan. This is what they have planned for you. Your six-year-old daughters will be sold off to harems. Your six-year-old sons will be killed because they don't want young white males to survive. And, you know, unless we hunt them down, they will hunt us down. This is what they set up for us. You know, it's not, this is human nature. This is not just human nature. This is nature. This is the way.
This is the dark side of human nature. This is very dark. This is satanic.
It's very dark,
very evil. And this is where they thrive, you know, and they enjoy, don't they just enjoy what they're doing? I think they do. And gosh, we've run out of time, Stefan. So why don't you tell us about your books and how they can get your books and what are you working on currently?
Well, my last book is The Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. It's a very scientifically researched book on all the techniques you would need to become self-reliant, courageous, strong, a critical thinker, independent from the state, you know, how to read people, how to develop your mind and your senses and your body so that you can survive what's coming. I mean, we're heading into warfare here. We are in a battle right now. We're in the trenches. And so, you know, it's going to be a survival of the fittest, and this book will help you to become fit. I'm also working on another book called The Complete Guide to Creating Communities for Mutual Aid and Charity, which is my final solution. It's the final solution. Look, folks, we need to band together, and we need to follow the example set by history, by the people, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. How do you think they survived? They had it far worse than we do, and they survived all these hardships of life, but they survived it because they cooperated with each other. They formed communities, mutual aid groups, fraternal societies, friendly societies, support groups, lending circles. They created their own credit unions. I mean, that's how they survived. They worked together. And when the government goes down the toilet and the state and the welfare and the pension plans, all that's gone. It's gone. We're just living on – we're running on fumes right now. Anybody, you know, my age, 60, that thinks you're going to get a pension from the government, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. So how are we going to survive? There's only one way that history has shown us that we can survive, and that is to create communities. So go to my website, www.chinastrategies.com, and you'll see my – I've got a GoFundMe campaign. I'm asking for funds to help me complete the book, but it's the solution to all our problems. I know it sounds – I'm making a big claim here. I have the answer to all your problems, but actually I do have the answer to all your problems. I have the answer to the addiction, to the depression, to the suicide, to the poverty, to the homelessness. The answer is we have to help ourselves. We have to cut ourselves off from the government and do the work together, and then we can solve those problems.
Boy, I like that. We're going to have you back and talk about that, you know, the homelessness and the poverty that's happening in the and the tent cities and all the diseases that are spreading. We've got to talk about that because people need to wake up and understand they need to protect not only themselves but their children and their families, right?
Right. And that's, you know, I'm trying to, like, I'm a boomer, you know, but come on, my fellow boomers, look, your grandchildren are going to pay for this. And they are not going to have the life you had. Your children are going to pay for this. You know, like if you don't want to help yourself, if you're happy just to, you know, coast downhill until the lights turn out, fine. But at least think of your own children, for Christ's sakes. And think of your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. They will curse you for generations to come unless you do something now.
Thank you so much, Stefan Verstop, and I wish you lots and lots of success with your books and your artwork and your research, and we look forward to having you back again because you are a wealth of information that's positive on how to survive what's happening in this dark, deceitful web that is strangling freedom. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and stay safe.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Stefan Verstappen has left the building, and you can go to his website and check out his latest books and his research. And you definitely want to read his materials because he is a wealth of information. And I can't wait till he finishes his last book and we can find out what his solutions really are. You know, he worked as an instructor for St. John's Ambulance, a wilderness guide, a community organizer, martial arts instructor with over 35 years of experience in the martial arts, including 5 years spent studying in China. So he has a wealth of information to share with you. Also, look him up on YouTube. And God bless you. God bless America. God bless all the families of the victims of 9/11. We shall never forget. We pray for you. We pray for all those who have contracted lung cancer from the toxins. And we also pray for our nation every single day that, thank God, we have President Trump standing with us to secure the borders, build the wall, create legal immigration, restore legal immigration, restore the rule of law, restore the republic, restore Christian values, principles, despite the horrendous amount of pressure he has coming from the left. So God bless you. Stay healthy. Stay happy. And enjoy your day. And I'll talk to you next Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. This is The Rose, signing off.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.